Thank you very much. So we are starting the meeting on at 5:30 for August 12th, Fairbanks Diversity Council regular meeting agenda. Can we have a call to order? And Karen, can you please read the land statement, acknowledgement?
Thank you.
We respectfully acknowledge and deny people upon whose traditional land we reside. We honor the deny who have been the stewards of the interior lands and waters for centuries, the elders who lived here before, and the deny people of today and further generations to come. We also recognize that the Alaskan Native people who would traditionally gather here and harvest Native foods.
Thank you very much. If you guys could all rise and pledge allegiance with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yep. Let's do a roll call, if you could, please, Danny.
Yep. Deidre Hamilton.
Here.
Herb Butler.
Here.
Karen Blackburn.
Here.
Dorothy Shockley. I see her online.
Oh, there she is.
Hi, Dorothy. Juanita Webb.
Here.
June Rogers.
Here.
Jennifer Hartford.
Here.
Erica Dillard.
Here.
David Prus. Jake Merritt.
Present.
And Lonnie Marney.
Thank you. We have a quorum. Mm-hmm. Herb, could you read the mission statement, please?
The city of Fairbanks recognizes that our community is a diverse one, with a wide variety of ethnic backgrounds, cultures, beliefs, and orientations, and recognizes this diversity as an asset and resource for our community. The establishment of a Fairbanks Diversity Council can provide the City Council and Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly with advice and recommendations to promote equal opportunity for all members of the public.
Thank you very much. If you guys would like to take a look at the agenda, I would like to add under new business a email that Marcia sent. And Danny has forwarded it to you guys. And then also, I don't remember what the other thing was. If I get to it, I'm going to just put a question mark with the number because I don't remember what it was. And then we'll need a first and a second when you guys are ready. I do remember what it was. Conversation with the new members. Get some input from you guys. Your expectations and our expectations.
Where do you want that to go?
Under new business.
Sorry. Right. Thank you.
Just waiting for a motion. The agenda.
Motion.
Are you motioning to accept it?
Sure.
Is that it? Okay. We have a second. Thank you, Karen. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And then approval of the previous minutes, which you'll find in your packet. If you want to look at those over, and then we'll need a first and a second on those as well. Anybody would like to make a motion?
I motion that we approve the previous minutes from the meeting on July 8th.
Thank you. Second?
I have a comment, please.
Yes.
In a minute.
Go ahead, Dorothy. Oh, sorry.
Yes. First of all, my apologies for not being at the meeting. I was in Dillingham and the internet was horrible. But since I wasn't there, is there a chance we could put E. Dillard and D. Hamilton's information in the minutes? Since I missed, I didn't get any kind of information about them. So.
Meaning like an introduction?
Well, I would like to have it in the minutes. In the minutes, it said that they were introduced and gave information about themselves, but it wasn't in their information was not in the minutes. So that's what I was asking, if we could add that.
Yeah. Okay, yep, we can do that. And then we're going to reintroduce, I think, tonight, sorry, just because a lot of us were gone at that last meeting, so.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, either way, just so that we have it in the minutes of their information, that would be good.
Yeah, the minutes will be back then. These minutes will be back then at the next meeting for the body's approval, since they'll be revised. It's not just a word or two, it's a chunk.
Okay. So did we did have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Citizens' comments. I don't believe that we have any. Is that correct?
Yeah, no one signed up and no one's online except for members. I don't see anyone in the room.
Okay. A report from the chair. I'm just going to be talking about things as I normally do throughout the meeting. I don't have any specific thing right up front. Unfinished business. Chair term ended and the election of a new vice chair as well. So that's the first thing that we need to tackle today, is that we need to vote in a new chair and vice chair. Right now I am the chair and Karen is the vice chair. And I believe as of two meetings ago, you were interested in stepping up to chair, Karen? Is that still true?
Sure.
I'm not. If you don't want to do it, don't throw your name in there.
I'll do it.
So, I get, yes.
We don't need a vote for that one because that's the natural progression. Okay. The expectation is the vice chair moves into the chair position and only elect a vice chair.
Okay. Congratulations. In just a moment, we switch, right?
Right. So as of tonight's meeting, at the next meeting, you'll be the chair, and from the body, we'll elect a new vice chair, and I guess you're off the hook, Ms. Webb.
I'm just joking. Okay, so I finished running this meeting?
Correct.
Okay. Dang.
Gosh,
that's good. It's really bad watching. I know. And then, so if anyone wants to be thinking about it, if they're interested in being vice chair, Karen is an amazing young lady to work with and does great things in our community. So, very excited about her. But if there's anyone else that's interested, if you want to throw your name in for people to think about between now and the next meeting, that'd be great. See anybody's hands going up? I don't either. You have two hands. You can be chair and vice chair. Okay, we will leave it as it is for right now. If anyone wants to throw their name in, they can always email Danny and can send it out as well too. Human library. So are the new people familiar with what that is? Okay, so Lonnie, do you want to talk about it?
Oh, probably just a little bit more than you guys. We've set a date for September 20th, and we have decided on a location at the library. And I don't know what the time increments are, but we have a person come in, and he basically, or she, talks about their background or something that has affected their life or, the, you know, something from within their soul. And I look forward to it. We had three on the committee, and now we've just got
two.
Juanita and myself, is, which we need to start working on since it's about a month away. So
yeah, before you leave tonight, let's set up a time.
Okay. Well, that's, I don't know if you want to fill more in for that, or did I hit the button, or?
I think so, yeah. It can be anything. It necessarily doesn't necessarily cover your entire of who you are, because there's a lot of pieces put together to make a person, so to speak. But it can be about maybe you've had drug addiction, or you're a reentrant, or you've been homeless, or you're a single mom, or you're whatever it is about you that makes that you think would be a good story to share. And then it also, the program itself is kind of makes it in a safe place, so that if, let's say that it was me and that I was talking about drug addiction and stuff, I feel I'm in a safe place that I can share that. And then also the people that come to listen to me are in a safe place that they can ask questions that maybe typically you wouldn't, because of them being awkward or just something you wouldn't maybe ask somebody. And you can learn about different things that way and how it affects people individually. So if you know of anybody, I think so far I know that there's at least two people, her being one of them, that are interested in being a book. So if you know anybody that you think would be really good, because not only it takes a good storyteller as well, then the program itself, I've seen where they've been scheduled and it's just one person talking to a whole audience. And then there's others that you can get numerous books and they can get checked out, so to speak, and go to different rooms and have conversations as well. So do you have any questions about that?
This is June. Could I ask a few questions, because the way you're describing it, especially for new persons to this discussion, it appears that it's patterned or expected that the stories are going to be times of difficulty. And is there no option for someone bringing a joyful topic to this? I have never understood from the beginning that this was going to be channeled in the way I just heard it. And so that's why I'm asking the question. I've always thought that this was something that each person who decides to participate shares a portion or a time of experience in their life, but doesn't necessarily mean that it's an arduous time, is the way I've always looked at it.
Agreed. And I didn't mean for it to sound negative, but yeah, it can be.
I don't think that's negative. I just think it was different than what I had understood the program to be. And so I know that a lot of the behavioral health committees and things that I work with, those circumstances are very reassuring to work together and shore up the support and understanding and camaraderie and everything that goes to make things be for a happier existence. But I thought that our book was a lot more diverse than that.
No, and it can be. I was just trying to throw some examples out there, so it can be a number of different things.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt there and everything.
Oh, not at all.
I thank you for going. If we're going to talk topics across the board, then we need to include joy.
Is there any topics that anyone would like to bring up or know somebody that might be good, so that as Lonnie and I are preparing that we have those names or those people?
Yeah, my husband has a pretty great story of recovery and, you know, rebuilding his life. So he's maybe not the best storyteller, though, so let me feel him out. But he would, I think, be a good candidate.
Okay.
I have a suggestion.
Okay.
Do we have a list of people that have already, we have in the library?
All right. why not a in-house or a council human library opportunity where each one of us as members would have an opportunity if we want, as time goes on here, to tell our story or talk about a particular topic. Would also give the committee members a chance to consider furthering that particular topic on to for the general public for as a human library opportunity.
In the future, you mean?
Yeah.
I think we can do that. Dorothy, I'm sorry, could you repeat what you said?
Sorry, is there a list of people we have in the library already?
No, the only thing I'm aware of is there's two people that have said, I know Herb has said before, and there's a gentleman that lives in Fox, Rick Webb, that's legally blind, that is interested.
But didn't we do this before? And did anybody participate?
We did, and they did participate. I am not aware, other than Mayor Prues and Jeff, I'm not aware of any of the others that are still available.
No. So it's not recorded or anything?
No.
No.
Yeah.
This is June. Jonathan Bagwell, who's not been able to continue participating as a member of this group, has many times expressed in the past that he would like to have participated in this project. And so we can maybe even contact persons who have had that connection, such as Jonathan.
That's a good idea. I forgot that he did that. Sorry, I'm just writing down names.
And he might also be a good recruiter of other people because he thought this was a really special project. He's just not able to continue on the council.
Right. And if anybody thinks of anybody else, just go ahead and send it in to Dani and then she can send it out. We can talk about it. Does anybody else have any questions about that? Okay. The diversity activity book. So my intent with that, I know I haven't shared with you much. It's completely paid for. We put it on, when I say we, meaning I and the young lady that's doing the artwork in it, put it on hold because we feel like that her life got really crazy, my life got really crazy, and we want somebody that's an expert in maybe talking about diversity to kids of a young age to look at it and see what they think, and then also bring it to you guys to see what you think before we decide, are we going to back it as a diversity council? And what we want to do with it. Okay. Do you guys have any questions about that? Herb, you look like you have a question.
My mind must be wandering. Could you repeat just what you said?
So I and another young lady created a diversity for children book. I wasn't asking the diversity council to do it. I would like the diversity council to back it because it was expensive to get what's happened so far, the artwork and stuff, and that's already all been paid for, not through diversity council. But I would like to bring it to Diversity Council to say, are you guys willing to put your name on this along with anybody else that wants to sponsor it, so to speak, but no funds being from this group.
And it would be focused or targeted for youth.
Young youth, yeah.
I thought that's what you said, and that's why I had this look of wonder I've always felt that diversity is more of a mature subject. It continues to be, but never really thought of teaching youth the particular topic of diversity. So it sounds like an opportunity, but I'm not sure how it would work.
I think if we educate young children to accept people as they are from early age, that starts that path of accepting different diverse populations, and that's kind of how I look at it, I guess.
It really depends on their parents, if they would even let them deal with that.
Oh, agreed.
Do you have copies of this one?
I have, it's not been put into book yet, but I have pages, yes. But right now—
Can we get a copy?
Pardon me?
Can we get a copy?
You can, with the understanding that it still hasn't gone to somebody that's a professional and talking to children about that topic. I would be happy to. I can bring it into the next meeting.
Maybe just send some pages or something. Not the whole book. But...
Okay. I can do that. Any other questions? Okay. So calendar of events, my assumption was, I didn't see anything on the last minutes about the internet or in powwow. We attended last year, and that was one of the subjects that was on, or I thought was on for last meeting, but did anybody attend the intertribal powwow? How did it go?
The weather was just right. It went well. They had the regular or normal visiting drum from the lower 48.
Oh, nice. That was.
And that's happening annually now. And talking to this particular drum group, it was intertribal, but the organizers or the head of the group were from Oklahoma, and they said that they had been applying for about a dozen years.
Oh, wow.
So there is interest amongst drum groups in Lower 48 to be able to acquire the funds or the way to get up here for a three-day powwow. And of course, the accommodations, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also two other drum groups, one from Anchorage, one from Fairbanks, that are regulars.
Mm-hmm.
And then another drum group from across the inlet from Anchorage that's almost a family group.
Yes.
Run by a lady from the tribe over there. So it's that part is well done. Plus, also there's the princess pageant, mm-hmm, that goes on, and that's an act very active. A lot of people work hard to enter their children, and the children are working hard at it too to be elected, you might say, the princess of the powwow.
Yeah, the regalia is beautiful.
Yeah, and that's an annual thing that goes on. Now, as far as the facilities go, it's a well-built tent arrangement. And plenty of parking now. There's only one drawback, and that's the not enough food carts, because there's competition around the city for food, mobile food carts.
Yeah.
At that time, and so more and more of us are having to dash off somewhere to get something to eat or find something we like before we head back to the Apollo. But all in all, it's well done. Plenty of speakers and such, and it's not anything like the competition type, non-traditional type powwows you see in the lower 48. It's a lot of fun.
Good. Did anyone attend WEO?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
And I think the Carlson Center is better than the hockey place as far as facilities and accommodations and room and such. And I'm impressed every year the number of youth and younger people that are working hard, working their way up to eventually reach competitive levels. And you see the young people that win the competitions are some of them are not even old enough to be in college yet, they're high school levels and such. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot of fun. For years and years now, it's been going on, and there doesn't seem to be any diminishing of effort and capability.
So does everyone know about WEO and what it represents?
Okay. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
June, would you like to explain? We have not Denitra.
Daidre,
just kind of maybe explain what WEO is about.
Well, World Eskimo Indian Olympics, and I can't recall, Dorothy, maybe you recall, the actual year that it first started.
1966 or something?
Yeah, it's been a long, 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 long time. And then, of course, the powwow was way back in the beginning. I was part of the early group of folks that got together for the powwow and making that happen with Don Standing Bear and with Benno and several others. I did attend the powwow, and the things that Herb was saying are kind of spot on there. There's a lot of wonderfulness there that happens, and the camaraderie is really kind of zinging through the air. It's really it's a special time of people greeting with each other. The drum groups, I think that right from the very beginning of that, those logistics have always been surmounted in some way or another. It's difficult to get that many people traveling up to an area. However, there's a real desire to do it, and somehow or another, there's always drum groups coming from various locations. With WEO, I'm less involved with their operations. However, I've always attended, and it's, I think, one of the most focused upon, not just by those in Fairbanks, but from people from all over the world, because they regularly have tour groups that come and a variety of different things. Dorothy, you can even help me with some of these here. But it's there's so many youth involved with both of these groups. I think that's their plus factor, is that both of these groups have a high percentage of young people who are involved. It's a learning experience. It's a sharing experience. It's an athletic experience. It's an education experience. There's all sorts of pluses that go along with both of these events, and they need to continue, and they also need to be supported by those of us in the community.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so, calendar events, if you look on the very back page of the minutes you have in front of you, there's a calendar that we keep, especially since we
only... sorry.
I'm sorry, Dorothy, go ahead.
I ran to look for my pamphlet that I got from WEO. To kind of give you a rundown of all the different activities and competitions, but you know, it was originally started, in I think around 66. And I can't remember the councilman who started it, but yeah, it was just to, I think, started off as a tourist attraction for people to see more what Alaska Native people just give them an example of different things, you know, different competitions that they had locally. Then it became statewide as far as the blanket toss and stick pull, knuckle hop, scissor hop. I mean, all of these different exercise or competitions were used and practiced in different communities to help them with their traditional activities, like the stick pull, you know, pulling in fish or, you know, grabbing fish out of the net and
seal skinning.
Yeah, so you had, you know, all kinds of activities. I mean, there was, you know, muktuk eating, there was fish cutting, seal skinning. I mean, just, you know, pretty much anything you could imagine as far as indigenous activities. And so it's, you know, years ago, I remember as a kid, I mean, just the paddy gym was just packed, and there were, you know, people from all walks of life. I mean, every part of the state. And there were tons of dancing competitions and, you know, from Ukiavik to Southeast Alaska. Unfortunately, you know, because of, I don't know, many things, maybe cost of traveling and other things, it isn't as big as it used to be, but it's still fun to watch and to go to and just to learn, you know, about indigenous activities and competitions and traditions.
Thank you for that, Dorothy.
Thank you.
So going on to the calendar of events, like we're talking about, one of the things that we have to be particularly aware of is with only meeting once a month, things come up on us really quick. So you have to really look a couple months out to try to see if we're going to schedule something. We do have September is Labor Day in the Human Library, and then October you have Indigenous Peoples Day, Alaska Day, International Friendship Day, which we typically participate in. We usually have a table, and the TCC conference as well, which we haven't participated in the past, but always an opportunity if that's something that we decide we want to do. So under new business, so...
Could I add something to that list of folks there? I took opportunity of talking with Rosalind with... I'm losing my train of thought here, but anyway, she has been spoken about several times when we've been talking about how this particular group got started and how Rosalind was one of the first persons to work in that realm. And she very much would like to participate. However, she's teaching 5 days a week now at various programs out at the university, both during the day and during the evening.
Wow.
And she wants to thank everybody for thinking about asking her. And she just feels that she can't stretch herself much more than that at this point right now. But it's one of those events that we can keep in close connection with and always be invited to participate in some way or another. So Rosalind Kahn is still thinking about us.
Yep, she's an amazing lady.
Yes, she is.
So under new business, if we can maybe reintroduce, sorry for the three of you putting you guys on, or actually all of us should introduce ourselves, and just what you're looking for on the Diversity Council, and what is diversity to you? So Jake, would you like to start, please?
Yeah. I'm Jake. I'm the HR director for the city. The city installs me on this council, so I don't vote in stuff like you guys do, but I am here to speak to things or to answer questions about what it's like for the city employees or things like that. Diversity for me, I think it's an understanding that everyone comes from a different place, but we all have something to offer, not just to each other, but to ourselves. And so I enjoy these discussions. I enjoy being here with all of you. It's one of the pieces of this role that I think is special. So that's me.
Jennifer?
Yes, I'm Jennifer Hartford. I'm currently the Human Resources Director at Family Centered Services of Alaska. Erica actually told me about this opportunity, and diversity is very much in my wheelhouse of my career. And I'm looking for personally to be more involved in the Fairbanks community. I'm from Colorado originally, and I moved up in 2021, and it's really a community that I fell in love with, and it's now my forever home. So I just want to see what I can do to support the community in any way that I can. What diversity means to me, very similarly to Jake, is we're all from different cultures and backgrounds, but we can all come together as one people and accept those differences in each other and celebrate those differences as well.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Erica?
Hello, my name is Erica Dillard. I work at Family Centered Services of Alaska as the Quality Assurance Director. What diversity means to me. So I'm married to, my husband is a half Yupik Eskimo from a very small town. And I also worked at Mount Edgecombe High School, so predominantly Alaska Native youth. And it was during that time and during the 20 years with my husband that I've learned, you know, in raising a family who is diverse, that it's important for us, you know, no matter what we are, to come together, all of our differences. It's kind of the same as like culture. And culture is, you know, the way in which we choose to live. So diversity is kind of something like that. We are all different, kind of melting pot together, and do great things if we could just agree sometimes to disagree. And so it's important to me going forward to kind of help my kids and the future generations to come together and celebrate our differences, so that we can create a better future.
Thank you. Karen? I'm Karen Blackburn. So I am the executive director for Northern Hope Center. I am originally from Monroe, Louisiana. I came here in 2005, and I say I'm stuck here now. I married a pastor's son, so pray for me. And for me, diversity, I'm coming from the South, and then being planted in Fairbanks, Alaska, it was a total cultural shock because I was raised where we were still segregated, and it was like the 90s and then the 2000s, the early 2000s. And so then coming here, and everything was like a melting pot. So I came here, and it was my first time seeing like the mixed cultures, like the mixed babies. And like I'm walking in Walmart, and I'm staring at people. And my aunt was like, Karen, can you stop staring at people? And so I was like, I can't help it because like this is new to me. And so I was just in awe of, you know, what Alaska had to offer. And I've grown to appreciate it. And now I don't want to be anywhere else. And so I love it because it's organic to me. I love the how everything just kind of flows here and there's no rush for anything. And so that to me, that's what diversity is like it's organic and it needs to be organic and it needs to just flow and it needs to flow freely. And that's why I won't move back down south, because even when I go back there, I feel uncomfortable. I won't raise my kids down south, because now I was raised where I did not have friends that were Caucasian or of other races. All of my friends were Black. I went to an all-Black high school. And just knowing that now my friends, I mean, my kids and my friends, some of my friends now are of different races. And it's just, it's freeing. And so that's what it is. I feel like diversity should be free. And so that's why I'm a part of this council.
June? I've had to get that on book there. I think diversity is so many more things than most people ascribe to diversity. There's some regular center of the circle definitions about diversity, but I tend to see it as a much broader scope, and I wish we had more positions available, and the idea of people from all different walks of life, not just talking about ethnicity and that type of diversity that regularly gets discussed at meetings of ours and others, but we're talking about age across the board. With Alaska Native populations, we have a real reverence for our elders. However, I think that in the rest of our community, our elders are many times left out of invitations to you all come type of a thing. I think we have the pioneers, but that's a whole different thing also. That's an organization and that, but we also have a lot of military in our community, and I think that many times those communities are not nearly connected as they could or should be. I think that one of the things that we could look at more closely, especially with some of the things that Karen just spoke about, is that we understand the specialness of Fairbanks, that we have a very different sense of population here as far as like an event that's being held at a big banquet room or something, whatnot. Many times the dress code is Fairbanks formal, and we all know what that means. That means you just come as you are. And I think that whole concept of come as you are is what I think diversity is. Whether you've got your Carhartts on or your blue jeans or a fancy dress that you bought in Paris, because we all travel. And that's another thing that it's kind of a misnomer for a lot of persons who are first moving into the Fairbanks area that people here are isolated. And yet we're, per capita, we're a very widely traveled group of people. And so I think that we've only scratched the surface of what diversity actually is in our community, and that we kind of we need to not fall into the regular terminology of diversity. I think it's really easy to go down different roads. I think diversity should be according to our community, how we work together, how we live together, how we help each other, and how we accept each other in this particular realm. And Karen spoke to it eloquently, and I think that we just need to remember those types of feelings that she's expressing, because that's what diversity is a feeling that I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, and we're all here together, and we're all going to make things work together. And It's a difficult topic because many times there are circumstances where people have previous hurts, and I think listening to what Karen was saying, she alluded to that. And so it's difficult for many times people to leave certain things aside or behind and go forward and be trusting of being welcomed into a newness. And so I think that our responsibilities as people of the community who are interested in working in this direction, that we make a very, very definite pledge to make it a comfortable time of moving into a new dimension of personalities and activities and whatnot with all of us together. And that we remember that we have a real obligation to make that sense of well-being be available to each and every one of us.
Thank you. Dorothy?
Hi, yes. Dorothy Shockley. I will introduce myself in our traditional way of I am Upper Quakon Diné. My family comes from the Yukon River villages of Tanana, Rampart, and Stevens Village on the Yukon River, and on the Tanana River, Manly, and from Manly on down to where the Yukon River and Tanana Rivers meet. I grew up in Manly Hot Springs, and you know, diversity, like June said, does mean so many different things. You have ethnicity, you know, your ethnic background, where you came from. I always encourage people, no matter where they come from, to celebrate, you know, who they are. We all have amazing cultures and backgrounds. And if each of us celebrated that, I think we wouldn't, you know, maybe need diversity council, but we would all celebrate each other. And, you know, I would like to add to June's list, you know, gender is another diversity that I think we need to support and celebrate in others. You know, you have so many different things. You know, religion, you have so many things. And, you know, what makes us human beings in regards to, you know, where we come from and how we lived and yeah, just, you know, so many things. So, I to me, you know, celebrating each other, no matter, you know, where we come from, who we are, is really important. And to me, that is diversity in many ways. And just embracing and celebrating each other.
Thank you, Dorothy. Herb?
My mother is from Nenana, and my father was from Elkhackett. And so I have from a clan of especially from Nenana and Minto. My wife Nancy is from Huslia and comes from a much larger clan. It's impressive how large her clan is. From the Upper Ukiah Cook River area. written my story. It's been in Amazon ebooks for at least a dozen years now. It's titled Assimilation Trail. And but as far as diversity goes, let me talk about that for a little bit here. Yeah, there are a list of categories, of course, that would be part of a diversity program. Ethnicity, gender, LGBTQ, disabled. But so you could go on to political, especially, and even economic level. It just goes on and on and on. Alaska itself has been affected a great deal for many, many decades now. But the two major effects were, first of all, was a major oil discovery in Prudhoe Bay, to where hundreds of thousands of people moved north into Alaska. And this has gone on now since the 70s. And what they brought with them was their way of life from where they came from, and tried to absorb that into something up here. And it continues to try to gel and even out, but it's not very effective at times. Other times it is. There are, for example, geographic areas here in Alaska that have reputations for being the wrong community to live in if you're from a particular ethnic group. But then it's also the other thing that happened is the political change that occurred at the time. And that has caused differences. And so there's a reason for a diversity council. There's a reason for why diversity councils exist throughout the nation. Some don't last as long as others, and I'm not aware of a particular diversity council that continues to perpetuate its existence. One of the major reasons for a diversity council was in industry and in employment and in business. And there are businesses throughout the nation that have golden reputations for how they handle diversity. And the other category that was mentioned also was religious belief. And because of our successful immigration into our nation that's gone on for centuries now, there's a wide array of beliefs now. And it doesn't matter what your ethnicity is or gender or whatever. It's sometimes the differences are just how we think of each other in belief. Now, as far as our council here goes, it's a matter of, for me personally, to sit and watch and become even more familiar with everybody and with what's going on. I stopped at the mayor's table at the fair and asked the representative there to pass on an invitation to our leader that haven't seen her yet, and that's the mayor. I think that's really important that happens. But that's my final comment. Thank you.
Thanks. Deirdre?
Hi. My name is Deirdre Hamilton. I was raised in the military. My dad was in the Air Force. I've lived in 10 different states. I've been overseas twice. I feel like that makes me more diversified than other people because I have more knowledge of other places that I have been. My sister has two black sons. My daughter has three black daughters and a black son. My other daughter has two Mexican children. Our whole family, we accept anybody and everybody, and I feel like that's what diversity is, and everybody should be that way. We all breathe air and bleed red. What the hell is the difference? And I came here because I just turned 65 and I felt like you need to do something. You need to go somewhere and see if you can help. So that's why I'm here.
Well, we appreciate you choosing us.
Huh?
We appreciate you choosing us.
Oh. I got ambushed at a Juneteenth event.
There you go. Lonnie?
Well, I'm one of the ones that Herb's talked about. I invaded Alaska, Fairbanks, Alaska in 1974. And I was going to stay a couple of years and finish college. I was worked out at Alaska International Air, which flew the Hercs up north and supplied the pipeline. Never left Fairbanks. There was a lot of good jobs and a lot of crazy things happening up north, but Fairbanks was wild enough back in those days. I worked retail most of my life. I was a parts and service manager at, two car dealerships and the Harley motorcycle shop here for over 40 years. So I have dealt with the public pretty much all my life. And there's an old saying, if we were all the same, it would be a boring life and a boring world. And I think you could put this group of people in a room and lock the door and we would all get along. You know, we all have a story to tell. That's why I like Fairbanks. I've stayed here for, I'm going on 52 years here. And I've always said it's the people in the summers that keeps me here. So that's my story.
There you go. So my name is Juanita Webb. I'm the community engagement manager at Explore Fairbanks. Diversity to me is very simplistically put is that, as you said, you know, we all bleed red, we all breathe air, and there's going to be differences in how we think and how we do because of how we've been brought up. But the reality is that I think just if we can just have conversations and get along, understand, we may not agree with each other, but as long as we're accepting and understanding that we're not going to agree with each other, but do it in a respectful, polite, kind way. So we used to, back in the day, this room would be filled practically from front to back from people in the community that wanted to give input. We've lost that, and I ache in my heart to get that back. That the community knows that we're here and that we can make a difference in making our community better. Okay, so the next thing on the agenda is Diversity Council member comments. Is anyone interested in making any comments after we've just all commented?
I have a comment.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey. I'm not sure how this works, but I would like for us to send the land acknowledgement resolution to the council once a month for them to consider. I know they voted it down, but I think we just need to somehow continue to ask them, you know, to consider the land acknowledgement resolution. I was very disappointed, of course, when they voted it down, but if we could just keep sending it asking them, you know, maybe somehow, somewhere, they'll see the importance of the land acknowledgement. But so that's my comment, and welcome to the new members. Hopefully next month I can be there in person, but yeah, on grandma duty today, so.
There you go. Yes, Lonnie.
Ms. Shockley, are you aware that Ms. Therian pledges the land acknowledgement every Monday night at council during her first council comments?
I haven't, no, but it would be, I mean, that's great. I definitely appreciate that, but I think it'd be something great for the council, the city council, to acknowledge it as well.
Yes, Herb.
I have a couple points. Maybe you haven't studied enough. The term re-entry of a female here. What was re-entry?
Sorry, I can't hear whatever who's speaking.
There you go.
Re-entry, I'm wondering what the term means. Is it social? What is it?
My belief is it's people that are coming out of the prison or jail system and re-entering into the community.
Oh, okay. That's the part, okay. And one other item, I don't know if anybody's interested, but I'm friends with Leonard Peltier, and we've known each other since 1970s, early 70s, before he was wrongly convicted and sent to prison. He's now enjoying home confinement. President Biden, it was the last move that President Biden did before he left office, practically the last few minutes, and commuted Leonard's sentences to home confinement. He's at his reservation in Belcourt, North Dakota, and has received many hundreds of visitors since then. And happily, that reservation, like so many other reservations, is economically stable now. I remember being there in 1973 when it was dirt poor, like so many other reservations were at the time, and some still are now. But he's into his 80s but has becoming more and more used to being what you would almost consider a free man after nearly 50 years behind bars.
And if I may suggest, Karen, since what Dorothy said, was that possibly on the next agenda under new business is putting the what she's talking about with the land acknowledgement, and then having a discussion and putting on it then. Does that sound okay, Dorothy?
Yes, that's fine.
Any other comments?
This is June. Juanita, but I was busy. I always take notes, and I was taking notes of part of what you were saying, and then you spoke to, but that's lost now, and I really didn't get a good understanding of what you were describing, and so I'm hoping that you can restate what you were saying there about our loss. If you recall your statement earlier.
Oh, yeah. The fact that you're asking me to remember something is just humorous. Yeah. I was talking about how back in the day that the whole room was filled with people from the community making comments and talking and communicating with the Diversity Council, and that I said that we don't have that. We've lost that, and we need to get that back. That's what I ache for in my heart.
Okay, I recall all of that that you're referring to also, and thank you for restating that, because that is a big loss. Not and we do need to get back in that direction.
Okay. So one other thing, if I may ask, is that one of the things that we really stink at is when Danny sends out the packets, one of the things that she always asks us to do is to reply to say, yes, I will be there. No, I won't be there. I will be on Zoom. I will be in person. If we could focus on trying to do that, that'd be great, and very appreciative as well. So unless anybody else has anything, our next regular meeting date is September 9th, and we are ready for adjournment at 6:36. Thank you guys very much.